Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us, and you can always find us online at theunionedge.com, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, if you want to check out a podcast.
And a quick thank you to PFT Local 400 and the Steelworkers for all of your support. We really appreciate it.
Joining us right now, we have Mark McDermott. He is a labor activist and educator, and he is joining us from Washington State. How's it going, Mark?
It's going great.
Glad to hear it. You have some victories to share with us. I'm really excited.
I did. I just spoke at the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Broadcast, Manufacturing, and Telecom National Conference in Phoenix and got back late last night. And while I was there, they reported that they had a 1,400 member unit voted in at Baltimore Gas and Electric. It was the fifth election drive that they had put up and finally won on the fifth try.
Wow.
Wow.
They had an 800 member unit voted in at an Electrolux appliance plant in Memphis, Tennessee, which is the second go-around to finally vote in the union. And it was exciting to hear that even in this time when we're being constantly told that workers can't move forward, that unions are actually winning some significant victories and demonstrating that workers, when they're not completely beaten down by their employers, stand up and say, we want a union.
That's so some impressive tenacity, too, right there. Five times. That's I'm really impressed by that.
Yeah, it was thrilling to hear it. I wish I had more of the details, but it's something worth following up on.
Definitely. So congratulations to them. That's very cool.
Yeah, definitely. That is fantastic news. And I love to hear those kind of stories. I definitely would be interested in getting in touch with them to see if maybe we could get someone on to talk about what their journey was, essentially, because that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about what else is going on.
Well, there's a couple of issues that are moving across the country that are bad for workers. One is the increasing use of non-compete clauses by employers, which says that if you work for a particular company and you want to go to and you want to leave, you can't go work for a competitor.
Mm.
This used to be pretty much exclusively used in the high-tech industry. You know, you were somebody who helped Microsoft figure out how to invent Word or Excel or something like that.
Right.
It's being spread across the country now, and it's even being used by companies for pizza.
What?
So imagine you being a pizza parlor manager, and you find out that you want to go from one pizza company to another, and they can sue you and say you can't work there because you signed a non-compete clause. So these non-compete clauses are ways to force workers or make it more difficult for them to leave an employer that they want to leave to improve their situation or get out of an unworkable situation. And Paul Krugman on May 22nd in the New York Times, talks about this. One example he gave was Jimmy John's is basically trying to ban its former franchisees from working for other sandwich makers. Now, what kind of trade secrets is a company like Jimmy John's trying to hide from, pick another one?
Yeah, anybody. Making
right.
a sandwich is making a sandwich.
Maybe they just fold their meat differently? I have no idea.
I mean, there must be something.
This is just, it's
something
ridiculous.
Something in that fast delivery, I don't know.
It's a way to make it tough for you to leave.
It is, because if all of your experience is in a particular industry, and then when you leave a place because you don't want to work there anymore, you can't go ahead and work for someone else in that industry, what are you supposed to do?
You're in trouble, but you can be sued if you do it, if you've signed particular types of non-compete clauses. A second issue that I want to bring up that is sort of related to employers overreaching for greater control over their workers is this whole issue of pre-existing conditions in health insurance.
Yeah.
And the House Republicans just rammed this through and said that states can now allow insurers to charge higher prices for people with pre-existing conditions. Well, the effect of it is that as you get older, and I'm 67 and I'm not working anymore, at least in a regular job, but when I was 60, I had several pre-existing conditions because I was 60 years old and, the body has wear and tear.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to leave my employer and wanted to, and I had to go out on the open market and buy insurance, insurance companies might not insure me. So it's a way to trap workers into not being able to leave their jobs because they fear, if I leave, can I get insurance somewhere else? So it's not just bad for our health care, but it's making it more difficult for workers to choose to leave their employer and go somewhere else.
Right, and that's obviously not exclusively if you're older. I mean, there are plenty of existing conditions that people are born with that it doesn't matter how old you are.
That's exactly right. And
also, I would like to point out, makes it really difficult for young adults who are getting insurance for the very first time because maybe they had a, you know, they were on their parents' insurance plan. But whether it's when you're 26 or 18, at some point, you're going to have to get your own. And if they're allowed to either ban you completely or charge you exorbitant rates, it makes life very difficult.
Right. It's another form of unreasonable employer control over our lives.
Yeah.
It's not merely adversely affecting our ability to get health care.
Right.
My sister, who's had cancer three times, she had chemotherapy, and one 8-session round of chemotherapy cost $160,000.
Wow.
The idea that she could have left her job and gone to another place where she might have had to purchase her own insurance, she said, I have to stay at this job until I'm 65. There's no way I can leave unless I'm guaranteed that the next employer will pick up my health care without charging me outrageous premiums because of my pre-existing conditions. She didn't do anything wrong. She was just somebody who has tragically struggled with cancer.
Wow.
And these are you know, concrete examples in the lives of us and our families that people should be motivated to continue fighting to stop this Trump care
yeah.
in its tracks. People will die from this.
Oh, 100%. And it is just, I don't think people have realized yet the depth that this is going to go until it happens. And it's very unfortunate that we have to get to that point. But I just think that people see it on paper. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, this won't affect me. But I don't think they realize that it will.
It certainly will affect someone you know. I think that someone that everyone knows will be affected by this. It's really tragic to me. And I always, I keep coming back to this. So I guess I sound like a broken record in some ways. But I feel that our employers should not be responsible for our healthcare because who you work for does not determine your value as a human being. And healthcare is really just all about you being human.
Yes, absolutely. Let me touch on one other union victory that's local.
Yes.
That I think is truly inspiring. The Space Needle, which is the iconic structure in Seattle, down at the site of the old World's Fair, It's 600 feet high, and it has a restaurant on the top, which rotates once an hour, so you can get this spectacular view of the mountains and the sound and the forests on all sides of the city. And they've had a union contract there for many, many years, and in 2011, they refused to sign a new contract. And the Unite Here local in Seattle, and their members waged a 6-year campaign and refused to buckle. And we've been holding demonstrations and pickets at the base of the Space Needle for all 6 years.
Wow.
My wife and I have joked, we love going down to the center because it's a cultural center for the city, but we don't want to have to keep going to the Space Needle for picketing, but we're going to keep doing it. Last month, after 6 years, they got a new contract.
Wow.
And they retained their union security clause and their seniority clauses, which the company was trying to take away. So the old slogan of one day longer took about 2,300 days to get to that one day longer and this victory. 120 workers stuck together for 6 years with the community rallying behind them the whole way.
Well, that's fantastic.
Amazing.
Now, that's what we like to hear.
Man, this
it can be done.
Yeah, this day has really been a lot about tenacity, I'm realizing. All day we've been talking about people who just hold out, like you said, one day longer, and it's been working.
Yes. Nothing good in this world ever came easy.
Yep.
It took us 246 years to get rid of slavery. It took women over a century to get the right to vote. It took us a century to get free public education. We've got to take the long view. But we got to operate as if it's every day is the one day longer. We will prevail, even in these difficult times.
I definitely agree. And I think that's a good message to end off on here on this Friday. Mark, any last words for the listening audience?
It's Memorial Day. Let's honor our veterans who helped protect our freedom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Mark.
You bet. You take care and have a great and safe weekend.
Thank you. That was Mark McDermott, everyone. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.